Very good evening to you. We're delighted that you have joined with us for this special night in the history of Grove and for the induction of our good brother Ormerod. We're pleased that you're here. We trust that you'll enjoy the service, and we're going to commence by singing the first hymn on our hymn sheet, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, Joy of Heaven to Earth Come Down, Fix in Us Thy Humble Dwelling, All Thy Faithful Mercies Crying. So hymn number one, and after we get the introduction, we'll stand and sing this great hymn. After that, our brother Johnny Smith will read the scriptures and lead us in prayer.
Good to see so many out tonight supporting our brother and our induction service tonight. And I pray that the Lord's blessing will be upon each and every person tonight. We'll commit our time to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have a scripture reading. Lord, our Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for all who's attended. Lord, our God in heaven, we pray that in this time tonight, whether it be an hour or more, Lord, we would pray that you would help, you would undertake. You would undertake for our brother Johnny tonight as he would be inducted the pastor of this church. Lord, we thank you that there's a new beginning. And Lord, our God in heaven, we would pray for everyone on the platform, Lord, whatever their role is, Lord, we would just pray that you would help and undertake, Father. Again, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, even in this service tonight, Lord, that there could be one more, many, that don't know you as their own and personal Saviour, and our desire would be to see souls won for you, Lord. Lord, our God, we thank you for all that you mean, all that you do to us and for us. Lord, we pray for those who are sick tonight, Lord, that we'd love to be here, taking part in this induction, Lord. We would just pray, Lord, that you'd draw near to them wherever they are, or those that have different duties, Lord, we would pray that you would undertake for them. Lord, our God, just now, close us in with yourself. We're depending on you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I would like to do a reading. Last night we had a Bible study in our church, and I was asked to do a reading from the Scriptures. And I feel that the study that we had last night, I would like to read some of the verses from that study. And I think it would be appropriate for our brother Johnny tonight as he would be inducted into the pastorate of this church. And it's be an encouragement to each and every one of us. The reading's found in Joshua chapter 1. And it's from verse 1 to verse 11. And the Word of God says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall I divine for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." And it's really in verse 9, a very familiar, comforting verse that we all know. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And I'll just say a short word of prayer and then hand it over to the men. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that we have just read. We pray that our brother Johnny, his wife Jessica, and the boys, Lord, will be strong and of a good courage, not to be afraid. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, the fear nots that we think about in the Scriptures, Lord. We claim those promises tonight. We pray that you'll guard, you'll protect your servant, Father, as he's inducted into the pastoral of Grove. And we would ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.
The next item on our programme is a solo by Mrs. Grace McClintock. Grace has been known to us for quite some time, but she's come a long distance tonight. She's come from Kilskerry in County Fermanagh. And we're very glad to have you, Grace. We look forward to your ministry and song, and we wait as you bring your first piece. Thank you very much indeed.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O what with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise, let them flow in endless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee, swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages from thee. And I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercies follow me, your goodness will lead me home.
Thank you, Grace, for that lovely melody and medley of pieces. We thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you so much. This is the part of the program that you want over very quickly, and I'll do my best to do that. But I first of all want to assure you of a very warm welcome to Grove tonight, and our sincere thanks for joining with us on this special occasion, that of the induction of our brother, Mr. Johnny Omerod, to the pastorate of the church here at Grove. And I'm sure you will join with us in praying that this induction will herald a new era of gospel witness on the Bearsbridge Road. You will see from your order of service, we have a number of guests sharing in our service tonight. Our speaker, Pastor Ian Wilson from Rathfrieland, certainly needs no introduction to us, but nonetheless, he's very welcome. He was pastor here for 6 or 7 years, and he has moved on, but it's always good to renew fellowship with him, and we're delighted that he is here again this evening. I've already welcomed Grace as our soloist tonight, and we have enjoyed her first piece and look forward to what she will bring to us later in the program. We've also with us Pastor William Colville, the director of the Association of Baptist Churches, who will lead the act of induction. And our brother Colville is very welcome, and we thank him for the help that he has been to us over the past years. We're also glad to have Pastor Keith Giles from the Castlereagh Church representing the local Baptist churches, and we enjoy the fellowship that we have together with the local churches as we meet every 3 months for a joint prayer meeting, and it's been good to have that along with Mount Pottinger Grove and ourselves. We have enjoyed that. Very pleased to have Pastor Hugh Martin, the assistant pastor of Iron Hall, here tonight to bring greetings on behalf of the Iron Hall, and where Johnny and the family have attended. It's been so good to have the fellowship with the local churches. Then we have Mr. Timothy Omrod, brother of our brother Johnny, and he'd be bringing the closing prayer at the conclusion of the service tonight. Throughout the year, we have been blessed by the ministry of visiting speakers, and are so grateful for the willing preachers of the word who have come and blessed our souls as they have brought the truth of God. As I looked back over the diary, there were two recurring names. There was Pastor Jim McBratney, who preached for us very regularly, on Sundays, a few weeks at a time, and on Thursday evenings, and his ministry was greatly appreciated. Also, Mr. Ian Wilson, son of a former pastor, Pastor William Wilson, who has been always ready to help us, and we have appreciated that, along with many others who have ministered the word of the Lord to us. It has been good for us to get to know Mrs. Omrod, more familiarly known to us now as Jessica, and also the boys, Josiah and Jacob. And we trust that as they enter into the pastorate here, they will be happy among us and settle down comfortably with us. We have enjoyed fellowship with them all over the past times. Supper will be served at the close of the service, and so do please stay and enjoy further fellowship, and there you can bring your own greetings to the Omrod family as they mingle afterwards. I've mentioned supper. Well, we're dependent on our good ladies. They have prepared well, and I want to thank them for all their hard work. It's unfortunate tonight that Hazel Smith, wife of Johnny, who did a lot of the planning for the catering, took ill last night and was taken to hospital. She was discharged later today, but she's just not able to be out with her with us tonight. And we send her our best wishes for a speedy recovery. Sometimes musicians are taken for granted on occasions like this, but they do have an important role to play. And our brother Don Patterson, as organist, is an institution here at Grove, and we are constantly indebted to him and to also our praise team, Terry and Sharon, along with Johnny here, who complete the team, and a very big thank you to them for their contribution here tonight. Churches do need men as well as women to do work, and I want to give a very special word of thanks to all our deacons, to our secretary, Matthew Higgins, to our treasurer, Barry Adair, for all the work that they've done in what has been a very busy year when you consider that a couple of months ago we celebrated our centenary. So finally, again, thank you for coming tonight to Grove and sharing with us in this very, very happy occasion for us. And we pray that the Lord's name will be magnified and we all will be challenged and blessed and his servant encouraged as he enters into the work of the ministry here. We're now going to have the act of induction by Pastor William Colville, the director of the Association of Baptist Churches here in Ireland. Thank you. Sorry, I slipped up. It's the history of the call first. Sorry, Matthew.
I wouldn't have minded, to be honest with you. Good evening, everyone. You've been well welcomed, so I don't need to welcome you. It's good to see you here this evening. I was on a building site today, and I spoke to a gentleman who came from outside Downpatrick. And I asked him, was there any snow on the ground? And he says, yes, Matthew, there was loads of snow. And I thought, my goodness, our brother Johnny had told me that there was country people maybe coming here today. And I knew our brother Ian had a bit of a journey to come, and I thought. And he says, Matthew, you look concerned. And I said, the snow, James. And he says, Matt, snow's nothing to us country people. I was happy for the rest of the day. So was. The name of Mr. Johnny Omerod was first brought to our attention by one of our former pastors, Pastor Ian Wilson, as his view of biblical doctrine was in line with that of Grove. Mr. Omerod first spoke in Grove on the 17th of May, 2015. Towards the end of last year, it was obvious that Mr. Omeroyd's ministry was being greatly appreciated by the members and friends of Grove. The office bearers felt that a longer period of consecutive ministry would be helpful. To date, Mr. Omeroyd has been our guest speaker on 30 different occasions, both in gospel and in teaching meetings. The elders met with our brother several times to suggest a possible arrangement for him to be considered as our new pastor. The church members were very pleased that those discussions were successful, and an immediate invitation was sent to Mr. Omeroyd to consider a call to be our new pastor. Please stop doing that, Dennis, would you? I speak for elders, deacons, members and friends of Grove that we are all delighted that he accepted Grove's invitation. Our prayer is that Johnny, Jessica, Josiah and Jacob will be a blessing to us, and we will faithfully support them in this place which we call home. I would personally take this opportunity to thank all those who were involved in the preparation for this induction service this evening, for the things seen and unseen. I would leave you with a Bible verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you for your patience.
Now we will have the act of induction.
This is a moment when we come to a formal part of this evening's service. It's a very happy occasion, very joyous occasion, but it's also a very serious occasion. An occasion when promises are to be made, when there's a new beginning in the work of God. There's tremendous potential in this evening for the glory of God, and there's also tremendous potential for disaster if he does not bless and lead and guide. So we come into his presence as a group of people to make promises before him and to set out with his blessing on a path that will lead to the glory of his name. Very much like a marriage service, because that's what's happening tonight, where a church and a pastor are coming together in the will of God. And it will have its stresses and strains like any marriage, but we pray that it will be a long-lasting one and that God will glorify it to his name. I'm going to, first of all, have a few words of introduction. Then I will address some questions to the new pastor. Then I will ask the members of this church to stand in their place and to answer the following question. Do the members of the church in Grove acknowledge and receive Jonathan Omeroyd as the pastor of this church and congregation? Will you work together with him, giving him all the due honour and support in the Lord? And I would like you to answer with the words, "We do." At that point, then we will have a time of prayer. We are gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to induct Jonathan Omeroyd as pastor of this church and congregation. The ministry of pastor-teacher is given as a gift to the church so that God's people may be prepared for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Therefore, it will be his sacred duty to preach and teach the word of God from the Holy Scriptures, to lead the worship of the church, to be faithful shepherd of the flock of Christ, and to do the work of an evangelist. Those undertaking this ministry are entitled to the prayerful support, practical provision, and due honour of the church, as the Lord has commanded. The undertaking of such a ministry rests upon the call of God, acknowledged and confirmed by the church. Therefore, I shall first ask Jonathan to declare that, believing in Jesus Christ as his Saviour and Lord, he believes that he is called of God to the sacred ministry and will discharge his duties faithfully. Then I shall ask the members of this church to declare that, being guided by the Holy Spirit, they have called him to be their pastor and teacher, and that they now receive him as appointed by the Lord. Jonathan, in the presence of God and of this congregation, will you answer with all sincerity of heart the questions that I now ask you? Do you believe in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And do you now confess anew Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Do you believe in your heart that you are called of God into the ministry of the gospel and the pastoral oversight of this church?
I do.
Do you promise to execute your charge with all faithfulness, to preach and teach the word of God from the Holy Scriptures, to lead the congregation in worship, to shepherd the flock of Christ, and to do the work of an evangelist?
I do.
Do you promise to be faithful in prayer and in the reading and study of the Holy Scriptures, and to lead a life worthy of your calling?
I will endeavour to do so, the Lord being my helper.
Will the members of the Grove Baptist Church please stand in their places and answer the question that I now put to you? Do you, the members of the church in Grove, acknowledge and receive Jonathan Omeroyd as the pastor of this church and congregation, and will you work together with him, giving him all the due honour and support in the Lord?
We do.
Will the whole congregation please rise as we pray together, please? Our Heavenly Father, we have gathered in your name this evening. We have come on the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who shed his precious blood for us, and only in whose merits we can dare to stand in your presence. We come this night, and we have asked you to be in presence with us, to send forth your Holy Spirit, to enable us with sincerity of heart and with all goodness of mind to make the promises that have been made here this evening. You have been witness to all that has been said and done. You have heard the promises given by pastor and people to each other. And Father, we just ask and pray this night that by your Holy Spirit, you will enable all to honour the promises that have been made, that great glory will come to your name. We thank you for answering the prayers of this church and for the guidance of your Holy Spirit that has brought both pastor and people together. We unite all of us together with the members of the church in Grove in asking for the blessing of the Holy Spirit in this partnership begun today. Our God and our Father, we pray your blessing upon it. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit in all that is said and done and in the work of this place. We remind you of your promise. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Father, pour out your Spirit on this place. Turn the days. Get glory to your name. Save people. Exalt the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, that both pastor and people will be co-workers together in the work of the gospel, that they will be together in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace throughout all the life of the church. We pray, Father, that you will defend your servant from the cunning craftiness of the evil one, from the wiles of the devil, from those things that would seek to trip him up and to take him away from his one calling. Keep him faithful and uphold him by your right hand in times of trial and temptation. May he draw upon your grace richly day by day. May he find that your strength is enough for him on all occasions. Enable him to adorn the doctrine of God his Saviour in all that he says and does. May he indeed live that life that is worthy of the calling that he has received. May he never bring shame upon your name, but in the power of the Spirit, may you enable him to live to the glory of your name. We pray, Father, that when the chief shepherd appears, he may receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. We pray, Father, that you will bring him to that place of honour on that great day. We pray for his wife, Jessica, for his two boys. We pray for them, Father, as they join their father in this work. Realize, Father, there are many difficulties for those that are the family of those who are in the work of God. Pray for his wife that she may be a good helpmeet to him. That, Father, in times of loneliness and days when he's so taken up with other things, that you will be to her all that she needs. That you will give her the strength and the grace to bring up that little family. And Father, we pray that the boys will soon come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That together as a family they will rejoice in the glory of the gospel. We pray for the folk in Grove here, Father. We pray for the company of your people. We pray that they will be blessed by the ministry of your servant. Father, not only just in the sense that they'll go out saying it was good, but Father, they will grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that they may be enabled to support him in every way, in prayer and practical provision. We pray that they may join him in works of service to which you have called him, that the whole church may be built up, reaching unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. May this church never lose the vision it's had for the lost world around, for the many in the streets around this place who are without God, without Christ, and without hope. We pray, Father, together the pastor and people may be encouraged by seeing many come to trust the Saviour and to demonstrate the new life which he alone can give. May this company of your people receive that well done, good and faithful servant, on that great day when Jesus comes. Father, we come in your name. We come in the name of your Son. And we ask that in the power of the Spirit, you will fulfill what we have asked this night. Not just, Father, according to our asking, not even according to our imagining, but far greater, Father. May great glory come to your name. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest on pastor and people now and until Jesus comes again for his glory. Amen.
On behalf of the members of Grove and friends, it is my pleasure tonight to give you the right hand of fellowship and pray that God's blessing will be upon you both as you join here together in the work of the pastorate and in the work of the ministry. We're conscious of the need of the Lord and his power upon us, and we will join to support you in all that you do. May God richly bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Jessica, on behalf of the group, we are delighted to welcome you as pastor's wife. We've been looking forward to this day for quite a while. We pray the Lord will bless you and Johnny and the boys and make you a blessing, and it will be a help to you, and together that there are great things ahead for the group. Just a reach open. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you.
Well, that's the boys' Mother's Day present, sort of, as well. If there was ever anyone who stood unworthily in a place such as this, it is definitely myself. And I truly am amazed at all that the Lord has done and of how his hand has so clearly been evident in everything that has happened heretofore. My wife and I left Northern Ireland 8 years ago in 2008. We felt the stirring of the Lord, and to be quite honest, we really didn't know what we were doing. Perhaps some people might say we still don't. But nevertheless, it was very true then. But one thing we did know, that as the Lord stirred, that if we by faith took that leap and just went as he bid us, then just as Moses said that he would bear us on eagle's wings. And just like that young bird comes out and takes its first step, how the mother even comes underneath it and bears it up and carries it in a way that it could never do itself, so too the Lord has so evidently done through the years with us. And as we considered coming back to Northern Ireland a little over a year and a half ago, we were filled with uncertainty again because we felt very clearly that the Lord was bringing us back for a reason, but we didn't know what it was. And over this past year and a half, there have been many times that even myself, I have just questioned perhaps what's happening, where is God in all of this, how is he leading and guiding. But you may have heard many different sayings about trusting God at all times. And the Lord has very clearly and evidently taught us that over and over and again. As we come to accept the call here at Grove, the Lord has truly done great things. And we're thankful for that. We thank the church for its welcome, for its invitation, and even for the right hand of fellowship being extended tonight. We know that the Lord will continue to bless and guide as we continue to submit to him. And you know, whenever we take steps like this in our lives, we are casting ourselves upon the Lord. And we have to do so, because to do anything else would be folly. But the Lord has blessed and helped us. Over this last year and a half, we've had the privilege of being involved in many different things and of being able to meet many different people. And indeed, we've been able to have fellowship with the people at the Iron Hall, and we're thankful for that. And over the last year as well, our oldest son, Josiah, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ at a children's meeting there. And for that, we'll be eternally thankful. But also, we've had the privilege of being in fellowship with the people of Orangefield. And due to differing circumstances there, the Lord allowed us to be a part of that ministry and to have an active role even at different times there. And the Lord taught us many things through that also. And then as the Lord opened the door, even for the first time, as our brother recounted, to come here and to deliver the word of the Lord, we stepped out knowing that the Lord had provided the opportunity to come and preach, but really not knowing what else it would hold, or not even of any idea or thought to that. And it wasn't, I suppose, until a few months after that, that I came again on a Sunday to preach. It was in August, I believe, and the Lord blessed and the ministry of his word. But that evening I came back to do the evening service, and I was getting out of my car, and two fellows were walking down the street, and just where the little porta cabin is to the side, and I was parked right alongside the porta cabin parallel to the fence. Got out of my car and they were walking past, and quite rightly they both said, "Weirdo." And at that point the Lord did something in my heart, and he just really confirmed that I was called to this part of East Belfast. Now, I'm not going to say specifically to this church, because I took nothing for granted, but I knew that the Lord wanted us in this part of the world. And the Lord worked it all out from that point, and we're so thankful for it, and how he led and guided. And two verses that have been very near and dear to my wife and I, ever since the Lord brought us together as man and wife, have been Psalm 37 in the verses 4 and 5, "Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And tonight we've stood here and we've affirmed our belief in the Lord. We've made our promises and our vows to the Lord. And as a people in this church, and as the pastor now of this church, the Lord has brought us together. But you know, you look around this world, you look around the streets outside this church, and it's littered with broken promises. And that will be the story here too. Except we submit ourselves daily to the Lord. Every promise I've ever broken in my life has been when I've done things my way and not his way. And I pray that the Lord will help me to know what it is day and daily to commit my way unto the Lord, to trust also in him. For I know he shall bring it to pass. A verse that the Lord spoke to me through this morning is found in Genesis, in the chapter 49. In the verse 25, it's Jacob's words to his sons. He said, "Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above, and blessings of the deep that lieth under."
We pray that the Lord will bless us and that the Lord will help us. But I thank the church here for their invitation to be their pastor. I pray that the Lord will continue to lead, to guide, and to use each one of us to the glory and to the honor of his name. I thank each one for being here. I'll mention that later. But we pray that the Lord will bless and undertake in all things. And may his name be glorified in this house, we pray. Amen.
And a very big thank you to our brethren who have taken part already. We're going to wait on Grace to come and sing to us again and pray that the Lord again will bless her and bless us through her ministry. Thank you.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
Thank you, Grace, for singing to us tonight and especially making such a long journey. We appreciate it so much. Thank you. We're now going to have greetings brought to us. And first of all, we'll have Pastor William Colville, then Pastor Keith Giles, and then Pastor Hugh Martin. And they'll follow in that order. Thank you.
Well, friends, it is a very great privilege to be present this evening with the Grove Church and to celebrate again a new beginning in the work of God here. It seems that right back through my ministry, right back to the very earliest days with Mrs. Tate dragging me along on a Wednesday afternoon to speak to the ladies in the hall next door, I have crossed over Grove quite a number of times. And in fact, it wasn't that long ago that I was here with the church working with them together. It has been a great joy and a great privilege to work with them over the years and to see the work of God go forward here. This evening, I believe, is the last time that I will actually perform this task. After 22 years, I am, God willing, standing down at the end of April, and unless something amazing happens between now and then, this is the last time. Over 60 occasions, I meant to sit down this afternoon and to work it out exactly. I think it's 68 or 69 inductions that I've attended over those years. And it has been a joy over recent years to see many young men come forward. It was a period in time about 10 years ago where in our churches that there was a great dearth of younger men, where we had almost 40 churches without pastoral ministry. And today I'm glad to say that God has brought forward quite a number of young men like Johnny, and we do rejoice in seeing them coming forward. And today we have only about 16 churches that are vacant and are really actively seeking someone. We do rejoice in what God has been doing. For we live in days that are difficult. You can't miss that. You cannot walk away from that fact. Day when someone coming into church was called a weirdo, that wouldn't have happened 30 or 40 years ago probably, but it's how people around look at us today. If you listen to so much, it's on the television and on the radio and reading the papers, Christians are so weird today. Really a funny group of people. The whole incident recently over the new presenter on breakfast television presented almost as being an absolute idiot because he dared to believe the word of God and to take a stand for those principles. It is a difficult day, a day that has changed. But one of the things that I do want to say to you is this. It is still a day of opportunity for the gospel. One of the things that I have met a number of places is that there is a sense in which some people think it's all over. It's not, friends. It's not. This is a day of opportunity. The old ways may not always work in the same way as they have in the past. We may have to go about things in a slightly different way, but the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Men and women are living broken, empty lives. They're seeking in all sorts of places for fulfillment, and they will not find it, for he made us for himself, and until we find him, we are never going to find what we need in life. And so I want to encourage the church to have an outward vision, to look around and to see the work of God. Over the years which I have been in this task, we have watched the churches grow from 91 to 117, from 10 churches in the Republic of Ireland to 28, and at least two or three others in the process of joining us and coming to fellowship together with us in the work of God. The work of God is going forward. Yes, there are difficult places, and Belfast is one of those at the minute. And it's an issue we've got to address and to pray about and to see the work of God go forward. Yes, some churches do close, but others are opening. Other people are coming to know the Saviour. And it is not the end. It is not the day when Christ is returned. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. John was to write of those that were given to him, he lost none. And until the church is complete, he will continue his work. We rejoice in that. There are people who will come to Christ. We may struggle, we may fight, we may be put to the sword even in a day to come. But the church will grow. The church will be built. All those for whom Christ died will be there. And one of the words that I love in the book of Revelation is simply this. It's a multitude that no one can count. What a thought. On that great day, a multitude, says John, that no one can count. We think small. Get the big vision. A multitude that no one can count. From the four corners of this world, he is going to bring them in. And we come together tonight to bring you greetings from your other 116 churches. You are prayed for on at least one day every month. Many of us remember you more often than that. We share together in the work of God. God has blessed our work. He has brought us through difficult times. We are grateful for the support of the church here in Grove over the years in that work. And we rejoice together to see the work of God going forward. Want to pray this evening for your new pastor, Johnny, that the Lord will bless him. Want to welcome him into the Fellowship of Pastors. We have our pastors' conference coming in the next two or three days down in Glenadden, Newcastle. We have 89 men coming together to share in the Word of God and to encourage one another. And one of the great things over recent years has been the prayer times of those men together. There was one morning when Harry Dowds actually couldn't get the prayer meeting stopped. I had to crawl out and say to the cook, would you put lunch off? And that has been tremendous. God is at work, and we are seeing God's blessing, and we will see greater things than these yet. It is our prayer today that Grove will go forward from this day, that we will see people saved and added to the church here, and that it will be a real witness, a light set upon a hill that cannot be extinguished, and the world will know that Jesus Christ is able to save completely all who come to God by him. We live in difficult days, but it's always been that way. There are times I think some people haven't read the New Testament. They think the Apostle Paul, I've heard preachers preach about the Apostle Paul as if he had a charmed life. He didn't. He had a hard time. Read 2 Corinthians. And I want to conclude with the words that I have used at every induction over the last 22 years. And they're these, where Paul writes this: "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we've experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." That's a dark place. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us. May he do so for the great glory of his name.
Well, it's my privilege to bring greetings from our local Baptist churches here in East Belfast. Can I just mention Pastor Houston from Mount Ponager asked me to send his apologies. He's very sorry that he wasn't able to come this evening. The Apostle Paul's exhortation to Timothy stands as a banner to all of us with pastoral responsibility. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. There is no higher calling than to shepherd the flock as an under-shepherd, looking continually to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our chief shepherd. And so be assured that we will, in Castlereagh and in Mount Ponager and in the other Baptist churches, continue to pray for you. But also, as already been mentioned, we will continue to pray with you as well as we join together jointly for those prayer meetings. And we will continue to strive to work together in the gospel as well. And so I pray that God will richly bless you as you come here to Grove, that he will richly bless your family and the church here. May he lead, may he guide, may he protect, may he bless. Amen.
Well, it's my privilege to bring greetings on behalf of the Iron Hall Assembly in Templemore Avenue, and indeed the other fellowship of many churches around East Belfast, who indeed wish you well here in Grove. This was my first occasion to bring greetings in this sort of setting, but as I bowed before the Lord and asked, how can you give greetings on an occasion like this? I believe the Lord led me to Romans 16. As you go through the New Testament, there are a number of chapters that have a theme. If you want to read about faith, you'll go to Hebrews 11. If you want to read about resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. If you want to read about the Lord's return, 1 Thessalonians 4. But Romans 16 is all about greetings. And 21 times in 16 verses, the Apostle Paul speaks about greeting. And the word greeting in that particular chapter simply means to enfold in the arms, to embrace. It can also mean to welcome, and it can mean to greet. And then in other settings, it can mean to take your leave. And this evening, as we bring greetings, it is in the form of welcome. And that warm embrace to Johnny and to Jessica as they take up the ministry here in Grove Baptist Church. Throughout that Romans 16, Paul has a number of people and groups that he greets. And in verse 13, he speaks of a man called Rufus. In verse 5, he speaks of Epaphroditus. In verse 6, he speaks of Mary. in verse 7 of Andronicus and in verse 15 of Julia. And that teaches me this, that when Paul brought a greeting, he spoke to an individual. And my first this evening, I would like to bring greeting on behalf of the Iron Hall Assembly to Johnny. And the greeting, Johnny, as a church, we want to warmly encourage Johnny and indeed Jessica in this new work that they have undertaken. We've known Johnny for a number of years now in the Iron Hall when he first came to speak, and then when as a family, Johnny and Jessica and Josiah and Jacob came as a family and began to attend regularly. Johnny, your fellowship and friendship has been greatly appreciated by us in the Iron Hall. Johnny has spoken on a number of occasions in our services and also on a number of occasions in our children's meeting. And when he spoke in our children's meeting, I've got to say it was never short of imagination or short in regards to his faithfulness as he presented the Word of God and the Gospel of the Lord Jesus to the boys and girls. On one particular evening, he brought along a life-size donkey as he spoke all the way from McKees in Newton Arts, as he spoke to us about the Lord riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Johnny spoke faithfully, and he spoke simply to those children on each of the occasions that he was with us. And on each of those evenings, I think I can safely say, boys and girls made inquiries as to the little booklets that were offered as to how they could come to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. And Johnny, individually, personally, we bring you greetings and wish you well in your ministry here, both to adults and to children. Also, I would like this evening to follow Paul's example in Romans 16 and bring greetings not only to an individual, but also to a couple. Because Paul in verse 3 of Romans 16 says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. This evening, it's Jessica and Johnny. And as that couple in Romans 16 were greeted by Paul because of their blessing to the church and to him, could I say on behalf of the Iron Hall, both to Jessica and to Johnny as a couple, thank you for the blessings that you have been to us. Johnny, as I've mentioned, was along at our children's meeting on a number of occasions, but Jessica was there every week, sitting faithfully amongst the boys and girls each Wednesday evening, bringing both Josiah and Jacob along, and also taking part in the various programs. And to Jessica and to Johnny as a couple, we thank you for your fellowship in that way. Jessica was also very much part of our recent carol service at Christmas. And as already been mentioned by our brother Billy this evening, Jessica is indeed a helpmeet in the Lord to Johnny in this good ministry which he is about to undertake. And may the Lord bless you as a couple, both Jessica and Johnny. And certainly Jessica will be a very dedicated pastor's wife. Paul goes on to say in verse 5 as he brings his greetings, he says, greet the church who meet in their house. And so not just to bring greeting to an individual, to a couple, but could I bring greeting to the church here in Grove Baptist? On behalf of the Iron Hall Assembly, I bring our greetings to you. We rejoice with you this evening in the induction of Johnny as your pastor here. Johnny and Jessica, with their gifts, with their love for the Lord Jesus Christ, will certainly be a big asset to this church and a blessing in the hand of God to you all here. Their love for the Lord, their humility, sincerity, and energy in the things of God will add richly to this fellowship and to a church. We bring you our greetings and wish you well. Just last year, you as a fellowship celebrated 100 years as a fellowship here on the Bearsbridge Road in East Belfast. Just last year, Iron Hall celebrated 125 years on Templemore Avenue. The needs and challenges in East Belfast are as great as ever, and maybe even greater today than they were 125 years ago. And we pray for you as a fellowship that the work here will flourish and prosper well in this new chapter that you're about to undertake. Paul then finally says, on behalf of all the local churches, in verse 16 he says, the churches of Christ salute you. They greet you. Without wanting to be presumptuous this evening, I would like to say, Keith has brought greetings on behalf of the local Baptist churches, but indeed on behalf of all the local evangelical churches around East Belfast and beyond, we greet you. Those of us who, like you here in Grove, love the Lord Jesus Christ in truth, we greet you. We are glad for you and for the church here in Grove. To Johnny as pastor, to the elders, to the deacons, to the members here, we greet you and we wish you well in your ministry, in your evangelism, in your stand for truth. And we pray earnestly that your work here will bear much fruit. May God's people be richly and blessed through the ministry. May the lost be reached and saved. And may our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in all. Moses in the book of Numbers says this: the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The churches salute you. We greet you and we wish you God's richest blessing. And just as I come to a conclusion, we will miss Josiah and Jacob from our Wednesday evenings. We've had a great blessing over the recent years going round the schools with the amazing journey. Not sure if Jacob and Josiah will come along to Sunday school for the next few months. We'll maybe coax them, but maybe this we've had up until now is maybe when they'll be not be with us again. But I've brought two little gifts for them this evening, and to wish them well as they have been such a blessing to us in the Iron Hall, both in Sunday school and children's meeting. And you will find in Grove, when you ask a question, the hand is up before the question's even finished, and whether or not you know the answer or not. And these are two lovely little boys, and we would like to give this to them. I'll bring them down that direction, and may God bless you all as a family.
I would like to say a very sincere word of thanks to our brethren who have brought greetings to us tonight. It must be a great encouragement to our brother Umrod. It's been a great encouragement to us. And as we go forward, we pray that the Lord's blessing indeed will be showered upon us for his glory and for the extension of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before our brother Pastor Ian Wilson from Rathfrieland brings the word of the Lord, we're going to stand and sing the hymn number 2 on our hymn sheet, "You're the Word of God the Father." From before the world began, every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. Hymn number 2, and after this, our brother Ian will come and bring the Lord's message.
Thank you. Well, we want to come to the Word of God this evening, and we're reading in 1 Peter chapter 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. It's a joy and a privilege for me to be here this evening to share in this meeting. A good number of months ago, our young people were going in their weekend, and they were looking for a speaker. And one of the leaders come to me and said, "We've heard of this boy, Johnny Omeroyd." I says, "I heard he's a bit of a weirdo now, didn't Johnny?" It was worse than that. "I heard he's a bit of a free pea." I says, "We'll soon put that out of him." And so I said, "Well, we'll invite Johnny along to give a word of testimony." And we had a tremendous night in Refreilin. The church was packed, and there was a real sense of the Lord's presence. And Johnny had it off with the young people. And I know Caleb's here tonight, and Caleb always said it was a great weekend. He really enjoyed it. And I remember going down to see the young people, and some of them bring their friends with them, and I could see these girls all sitting around chatting and having fun. And there was some of the girls I didn't recognize, and there's one especially I didn't recognize, and I thought must be some of the girls' friends, but it was Jessica. And she was in among the young girls, and she was just one of the crowd and really fitted in and blended in so well. And I thought, here's a young couple that I truly believe the Lord could use and use mightily in our province here. And when Grove became vacant and Johnny was back preaching for us, Billy has described it like a marriage. Well, I sort of set up the blind date. And it was love at first sight. And I'm glad of that. Now, once you set it up, you keep out of the way. And I spoke to Andrew and we just left it with the Lord. And I'm just so thrilled for Johnny and Jessica and the family. And so thrilled for Grove Baptist Church. If you've been in Grove, there's something special about it. And those who've been members, those who've been here, know there's always something special about it. And if you speak to anyone, no matter where they are in the country, indeed many places in the world, a lot of people know about Grove Baptist Church, and it always has something special about it. And you have to be here to appreciate. There's something special about East Belfast. Johnny always tells me the wise men came from the East, so I don't know whether that's true or not, but there is something special about this church, something special about this area. And in my time here, I really enjoyed it. And one of the greatest outreaches in any church that I've been involved in, they're reaching out into so many different areas in so many different ways. And the Lord blessed us, and we saw people saved. And I believe the Lord's still saving souls. And we do trust that the ministry will be richly blessed. I want to really speak to Johnny this evening and the congregation, but more especially Johnny. I'm going to be bad-mannered. I'm going to be a bit of a weirdo because I'm going to talk to him, but I'm not going to look at him because he's behind me. But if I turn around and preach to him and you're seeing the back of my head, you really will think there's something funny about that boy. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5. Just going to read four verses. You've been here over an hour already. When Caleb said to me tonight, "Daddy, are we going to the mission? We have a mission on at the moment just outside Castle Well." And I says, "No, we're not. We're going to Grove." He says, "Well, at last, law." Well, Caleb, it's up to me now where at last. Caleb was born when we were in Grove, so Andrew said he's one of theirs. I remember when we were leaving, Andrew says, "Caleb's one of ours, and we claim him." So he's back this evening. He'll soon be 13, Andrew, believe it or not. So he's getting big. But it's good to be here. 1 Peter chapter 5, and reading from verse number 1. And Peter says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And God will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this evening. At induction services, and I haven't been as many as Billy, but I've been at quite a few, there's always jokes made and the things they say about the pastor. If he's too young, he lacks experience. If his hair is grey, he's too old for the young people. If he has five children, he has far too many children. If he has no children, he's setting a bad example. If he uses notes, his sermons are canned. If he doesn't use notes, well, he ain't that deep. If he's on a big salary, he's in it for the money. If he's on a bad salary, well, he's not worth much anyway. If he drives a really good car, he sets a bad example. And if he drives a poor car, well, he looks a bit rough and a bit shabby. And really, you get the impression sometimes that it's not easy to please everyone. And of course, that is true. I wonder tonight, what's your expectation of your new pastor? I wonder what you expect from him as a man of God this evening. I think Peter here gives us the role of a pastor. Indeed, it's the role of the elders. Now, I know there's other scriptures we could go to. I'm just going to stick in this passage this evening. And what's expected of the elders, of which Johnny is one this evening, being the teaching elder, being the pastor of the assembly here in Grove. And as I thought about this afternoon, I can see that Peter was a man of understanding. Look what he says in verse 1. He says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Peter says, "I exhort, I urge, I'm making an appeal." And I like what he says, "who am also an elder." Peter's addressing the elders and he said, I'm one of you. And so he's coming to them on level playing field. And he's letting them know, I understand where you're coming from. I understand the difficulties, I understand the hardships, I understand the burdens, I understand the trials, I understand all that you're going through. And I would say to Johnny, be a man of understanding. Not so much when you're addressing elders, but when you're addressing the people of God. Talk to the people of God in a way that you understand where they're coming from. Understand something of the troubles, something of the trials, something of the burdens that the people of God have to face. Peter draws from personal experience here. Indeed, in this chapter, there's an awful lot to draw back to some of his experiences he had when he was with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about the sufferings of Christ in verse 1. That would take us back to Gethsemane and Calvary. He talks about the glory that shall be revealed. That would take our minds back to the Mount of Transfiguration. He talks about feeding the flock. That would remind us of the words of the Lord Jesus to Peter in John chapter 21. He warns about lording it over the people of God. And he would be reminded of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ on when the disciples would argue among themselves which of them should be the greatest. Down in verse 5 of our chapter, he exhorts them to be clothed with humility. And of course, that would take us to the upper room when the Lord Jesus lifted the towel and the basin and washed the feet of the disciples. And Peter's drawn from personal experiences, his time with the Lord. And he's coming and he's addressing the elders and he says, I'm just one of you. And I would say to Johnny, let the people know that you're human. But you understand the issues, you understand the problems, you understand the burdens. I was preaching in the United States. I was invited over to preach at a conference just a few weeks ago. And when I got there, this leaflet, and it said, "Pastor Ian Wilson, Rathfarnham Baptist Church, he preaches from the heart to the heart." Now, I didn't tell them that. And I remember reading and I said to myself, I hope that's true. I hope I preach from the heart and preach to the heart. And Johnny, you'll find in East Belfast, there's a real great heart among the people of God. And preach from your heart and preach to the heart. A man of understanding. Then I think there's a message that's unquestionable here as well. See in verse number 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ." In every chapter in this epistle, Peter talks about the cross. He takes them to Calvary. He talks about the precious blood of Christ in chapter 1, verse 19. He says in chapter 2, Christ also suffered for us. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. In 1 Peter 3, verse 18, "For Christ also has suffered once suffered for sins." And again in chapter 4, "For as much sin as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh." And here we are in chapter 5. And again, he's back at the cross, back at the cross, back at the cross. I remember in 1997, I sat where Johnny's sitting. Billy was here too. And quite a number of you were here. And the sad thing is, my hair's gone and Billy still has his. I don't know where I went wrong. But I remember sitting here and people were bringing greetings and saying, I remember what, and Isabel's here tonight, I remember what her brother Tom Fleming said. And Tom was the secretary of the church back in 1997. And Tom's with the Lord, and many of you know that. And Tom said, I've just one bit of advice. Make much of Christ. Make much of Christ. And Peter made much of Christ. And I would say to Johnny, make much of Christ. Spurgeon said, I take my text and make a beeline to the cross. Old Jock Troop said, by hook or by crook, get them to the cross. Johnny, make much of Christ. Make much of the cross. We preach Christ crucified, not just on the Easter Sunday, but every Sunday. We seek to exalt Christ and to magnify him, because if he's lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. A man of understanding, a message that's unquestionable. I promise you I'll do this quickly. A ministry that's unappreciated. I remember speaking to someone from a church recently, and the church had no pastor. And he says, we don't need a Bible teacher. He says, we need a social worker. He says, you know, I can get all my teaching from the internet. And I was thinking, what about the other ones who don't have the same access that you have and want to hear the word of God? But here's Peter's exhortation to the elders, to the pastor, if you like, verse 2. Feed the flock of God. Someone has already quoted Paul's letter to Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Feed the flock of God. This is the primary role of the pastor, to feed the flock of God. Peter talks in 1 Peter 2, about chapter 1, about the sincere milk of the word. I remember Fred Orr read that verse to me the night I was saved, way back in 1986. The sincere milk of the word. The Hebrew writer talks about the strong meat, and there's the milk for the babes, and there's a strong meat for those who are mature. I think it was Spurgeon said one time, the Lord said, feed my sheep, don't feed my giraffes. And make sure you teach the word of God, Johnny, at a level that people can understand. But your responsibility is to feed the flock of God. I'm in Rough Island now, as some of you know, and I never mention sheep in Rough Island because they all have sheep. Even if they're not shepherds, they have sheep everywhere. And if you try and use an illustration about sheep, they'll come and they'll tell you that they know different. So I don't mention sheep in Rough Island. I'm safe enough in East Belfast. Don't think there are too many flocks about the east of the city this evening. But you know, sheep are dumb animals. They're defenseless animals. They're easy led astray. All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah says. And so sheep need to be fed. They need to be fed because that's how they're going to be guarded. A sheep cannot defend itself. And so God's people need to be fed if they want to be guarded against the attacks of the enemy. They need to be fed because they need to be guided. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And sheep need to be guarded, and sheep need to be guided, and sheep need to grow. Adrian Rogers said this, I tell you the way to grow a church is to have a man of God stand in the pulpit of God, opening the word of God, preaching in the power of the Spirit of God, exalting the Christ of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God's people will be built up in their most holy faith. Johnny's primary role is to feed the sheep. Sheep are wayward. Sheep are weak. But let me tell you, Johnny, sheep are worth it. There's no people like the people of God. Well, for all their faults and for all the issues, there's no people like God's people. And whatever they need, it's worth it to put it in to the people of God. But they need to be fed. There's always the chat about that we don't see the pastor. And the pastor needs to be seen about the homes and do a lot of visitation. And I know people need to be visited. I very recently had a call with a lady, and they'd just given birth to a little baby, and it was a joyous occasion. And I just left that home and went to another home where a lady had lost a child. In the same afternoon. And you go from one extreme to the other extreme, and only the Lord can help you with that. Only the Lord can give you the words to say. And sometimes you don't say anything. You just put your arm around them and weep with them. God's people need to be pastored, they need to be cared for, they need to be guided, but listen, they need to be fed. It was Graham Scroggie said one time to the elders of a church, "Do you want my feet or do you want my head? You cannot have both." A wise man said a long time ago, "A pastor who is always available isn't worth much when he is available." Johnny needs to spend time in the Word of God if he's going to feed the people of God. And you need to be fed because you need to be guided, you need to be guarded, and you need to grow. And Billy has already mentioned it this evening. The idea is that you grow and you're edified to do the work of the ministry, that you may be serving the Lord in whatever capacity that the Lord has you to serve him. It's a dangerous thing, this visitation. A pastor one time was visiting an old lady, and the lady said, Do you like nuts? He says, "I love nuts." And so he got a little bowl of nuts, and away he went chewing the nuts. And every time he came back, there was more nuts, and more nuts, and more nuts. He says, "Why do you keep buying nuts if you don't like them?" She says, I have no teeth. And the son buys me these nuts. And I suck the chocolate off them, put them in a little bowl, and then I keep them for you every time you come. Johnny, develop a nut allergy very quickly. Anybody offers you nuts, say, "I'm not interested." It's a ministry that's unappreciated. But I believe that there's a band of people who still have an ear for the Word of God. And I remember preaching in this church, and George Bates was here once testifying, and George was baptized in this church here. I used to attend it as a young man many, many years ago when the old Pastor Wilson was here. And remember George says to me, "Ian, throw out the bread and the birds will come. You preach the word and God will bring the people in." And Johnny, preach the word. There'll be many things to distract you, many things to steal you away from that time of study. But remember, your responsibility is to feed the flock of God. And there's many things I could mention. I want to move on. There's a master that's unmistakable. Notice it says, it's the flock of God. Always remember, we sometimes talk about my church. It's the church of God. It's the flock of God. And we're not to lord it over God's heritage. You're not here, and no pastor's here, no elder to be a dictator. You're not to lord it over the people of God. But there's a real challenge at the end of verse 3, being examples to the flock. And this is true of, should be true of every believer, but it's especially true of elders, and particularly true of the pastor. We do not have the luxury of saying, it's not do as I say, or not do as I do, but do as I say. We have to practice what we preach. And we're expected to be examples to the people of God. An example in our faithfulness, an example in our living, an example in our praying, an example in our giving, and of course an example in our attending. There's many other things we could say. I want to move on. This has already been mentioned this evening. There's a meeting that's unbeatable. Look at verse 4. "When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." You see the certainty here. It says, "When the chief shepherd shall appear," Jesus is coming again. And you know, he talks about the crown of glory that fadeth not away. There's a special crown, I believe a pastor's crown. Because I believe the Lord knew that it would be difficult. He knew it would be hard. He knew there'd be problems. He knew there'd be tears. He knew it would need sacrifice. It would need real commitment. And what a day that will be, to be a faithful shepherd and to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And I talk to many colleagues, and we always have to remind ourselves in all of our lamenting, sometimes we're worse than old women. Sorry, old woman, I know you're not that bad. There's always something to complain about, particularly on a Monday morning, and then we have to sit back and say, "Listen, we're doing it for the Lord. This is for the Lord." And it's the Lord's approval, and it's the Lord's pleasing that we want to do. You see, a man of understanding, preach from the heart to the heart. You see, a message that's unquestionable, preach the cross. A ministry that's unappreciated,
In spite of that, feed the flock of God. A master that's unmistakable. Remember, you're not to lord it over God's heritage, but to be an example. A motivation that's undesirable. I didn't mention it. Not for filthy lucre's sake. A meeting that's unbeatable. We're going to meet the Lord. And there's that wonderful crown for the shepherds, the under-shepherds that have been faithful. We said a lot about Johnny. I'm going to finish off a couple of minutes with the church. I've called it a mandate to undertake. What about you tonight? And particularly those who are members and adherents and friends and attenders here in Grove Baptist Church. What's your responsibility? Let me lay it out as I see it. First of all, to support Johnny. And I mean support him by your attendance. You mightn't think it to look at me, but I used to be in a flute band. And my two brothers were in a flute band. This band, they're being going out on a parade, and me and the two brothers, we were always there. And some nights you hadn't enough to go out, because some people just didn't bother. Now, that's okay, that's not that important. But that's how some people treat the house of the Lord. That's how some people treat the meetings. It's a take it or leave it. If I feel like it, I'll go. If I don't feel like it, I'll not go. And I remember when I was leaving Grove Baptist, and we had the prayer meeting in the Wilson Hall. And I remember the last Thursday night, I said to the people that were at the prayer meeting, I says, I don't need anything from you, because you've given me the most important thing. You're here, and you've always been there. And faithfulness is the greatest encouragement that you can give your pastor. Are you someone that can be counted on? I always wanted to be somebody that people could count on, depend on, reliability. Are you dependable? Are you reliable? If you're not here, will there always be a good reason? And maybe you've lapsed. Well, this is a new beginning for the church here in Grove, and it's a new opportunity for you to begin again. And to make that firm commitment tonight to support Johnny and support the meetings here, you've called this man. You have a responsibility to support him. You have a responsibility to succor him, to encourage him. Let me say, his head will not get too big. He'll be able to take all the encouragement you can give him. And be a Barnabas. Encourage Johnny. He'll need it. Encourage Jessica. Let them know you're praying for them. Let you know you care about them. The next thing is supplication. Pray for him and his family. Not just at the prayer meeting, but pray for them day by day. Pray that God puts a hedge around about them. There's a spiritual battle. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but those principalities and powers. And there's a real battle for the minds, even for the men of God. Maybe even especially for the men of God. You need to pray for your pastor. And remember that he is a father and he's a husband. David Jeremiah is one of the pastors in the United States, great expositor of the Word of God. In his church there are a number of pastors, I'll call them elders tonight. And the phone call came in one Saturday morning, I want to see David Jeremiah, Pastor Jeremiah. And the secretary said, no, he's not here today, he's going away. And so this man came in and he was going to see one of the other elders. And when he came in, David Jeremiah was actually leaving. Oh, he says, I'm glad you're here. I thought you weren't here. And David Jeremiah says, no, I'm sorry. Go and see someone else. But he says, I have a problem. I want to see you. I want you to deal with this. He says, no, there are four other elders here. They'll look after you. One of them will look after you. But I have a son and he's only got one father. And I have a wife and she's only got one husband. And I need to spend time with my wife and my son. And he went and spent time with his wife and his son. I wish I had taken that advice. Johnny needs to be a husband and he needs to be a father. And you make sure he has the time to be that. And you understand when he's spending time with his wife and his family, he needs to do that. Because they're his responsibility as well. You support him by your attendance. You succor him by your encouragement. You supplicate the throne of grace for Johnny and for Jessica and for the boys. Support, succor, supplication. And then finally, and I mean finally, just be sensible. Let him get on with it. Be sensible. It's easy to knock the pastor. It's easy to criticize. It's easy to complain. It's easy to get into the habit of doing. Listen, be sensible. Paul puts it far better than me. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And this is what he says. Esteem them very highly in love. Why? For their work's sake. And then he goes on to say, and be at peace among yourselves. Be sensible. Be sensible with the man of God. Don't be causing problems for no good reason. Don't be disrupting the unity, that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Don't you be someone who goes about sowing discord. Don't you be that person. Support him. Succor him. Supplicate for his family. And be sensible. And I believe that the Lord will use Johnny. I believe he's a man of the book. And I believe he'll preach the word. I believe he'll be faithful. And I believe as he's honored God, God will honor him. Amen.
I want to thank our brother, Pastor Ian Wilson, for his ministry tonight and the challenge of the Word of God. And truly we pray that the Spirit of God will write that upon every heart. Our closing hymn tonight is number 3, Forward Be Our Watchword, Steps and Voices Joined, Seek the Things Before Us, Not a Look Behind. We're going to sing the 1st, the 4th, and the 5th verses only. The 1st, the 4th, and the 5th verses of hymn number 3.
Thank you.
do sincerely thank each one for taking the time to come tonight, and it has been a great encouragement to see each one that's made the effort to be here. And I also want to say a word of thanks to each one that's taken part tonight, from our brethren who have given greetings, and also our sister who has come all this way to sing to us, and may the Lord bless her even as she returns on her homeward journey. But I'd also like to thank, of course, the members here at Grove, and it is an absolute privilege, my highest privilege, to stand before you at this point in the service, termed as your pastor, and may the Lord continue to bless us and lead us in his will. I thank each one of you for everything you've put into this service and the preparations for tonight, and for the two elders, Johnny, and for Alan, for all of their work too. Not forgetting the ladies, of course, and the food that has been prepared for us. May the Lord bless it to our bodies. And just let's remember our sister Hazel, who has put so much work in but is unable to be with us tonight. May the Lord bless her and raise her up. But we're going to ask my brother at this time. It's my privilege to have him with me. He's also a student in the ministry. He's in the Whitfield College with the Free Presbyterian Church, so you can take that out of him as well. But nevertheless, it's great to have him with us, and he's going to dismiss us in prayer, and also please give thanks for the good things that have been provided.
Our gracious God and our loving eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege which is ours in coming into thy holy presence this evening. We thank thee that we do it in and through the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the finished work of Calvary. We thank thee, Lord, that just before he died, he cried, "It is finished." The wrath of God had been appeased. The atonement had been made. And Lord, we rejoice tonight that that tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. And our Lord and Saviour has ascended into glory. And he is there now, and he is praying with us and praying for us. And Lord, we thank thee for this occasion which finds us here tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for bringing the congregation and for bringing Pastor Ormerod even together, Lord. We thank thee for that day and that hour which thou didst save him. We thank thee, Lord, for bringing him through his studies over in Crown College, for undertaking for his time in England, for bringing him back here to Belfast, for each and every opportunity which he has had to open up thy precious scriptures and to preach forth. And now, Lord, as he commences his time of ministry here in Grove, we ask thee that thou wilt bless him indeed. May the prayer of Jabez be his prayer tonight. O Lord, enlarge his coasts. Lord, bless him truly. Lord, Sunday by Sunday, week by week, may he have that great joy of seeing many unsaved of East Belfast gathered in through these doors. Amen. Sunday by Sunday, may we hear the good news that sinners are crying unto thee for salvation, that the backsliders are being restored, that the children of faith are being built up Sunday by Sunday, that they're drawing closer and closer to thee, and most importantly, that thy name is being glorified. O Father, meet with him and bless him in his private times of study. Lord, give him those words to say whenever he stands on his feet on a Sunday and he opens up thy precious scriptures. May it not be a message from man, but rather may it be a message from God on high. Lord, be with us and bless us now. We thank thee for the provisions which have been made. We pray that you'll bless them to our bodies. Take us to our homes safely later on in thy name and for thy glory and thy glory alone. Amen.